have a goal tonight. Put my watch right up here. I'm not telling you what it is in case I miss it. But I got an idea. Three words tonight. You'll notice Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 8. But now you also put off all these. Every one of us in this room were born with an old man. It's why we don't share naturally. It's why you put two children in the nursery, they don't immediately share and say, you take it for 5 minutes, and I'll take it for 5 minutes. I'll take it for the 10 and you bug off. That's usually the way it is. We don't share. We don't tell the truth. We're selfish. We're prideful. We have an attitude. We want things our way. When we don't get them, we lose our temper. We use our tongues the wrong way. We say things we shouldn't. That's the old man. And you'll notice he says in verse 8, put off all these. And then you'll notice in verse number 9, and if you would turn, if you don't have to, but turn to Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 4, he says, put off the old man. And the next thing he says is lie not one to another. So lying is a big deal. It's something innate in the character of man to want to not tell the truth. And it breeds distrust when we lie. It keeps people from wanting to be like us and to follow us if you lie or you cheat. So you'll notice, if you would, he says in verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. So it's like you've made a decision already to put off the old man. So you reject the old man. Have you made a decision to reject the old man yet? Every one of us in this room, you got to decide, I'm going to reject the old man before you'll ever become a great Christian. You can't put on the new man without rejecting the old man first. Now, the way you reject the old man is you'll notice the things in your life. If you tell a little bit of lie here and there, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. Forgive me for the lies I've told. By the God's grace tomorrow, I'm not going to lie tomorrow. You'll notice, if you would, he says in verse 8, put off all these anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication. If you've done those things, or if you have a tendency to do those things still in your life, even after you've been saved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything in the past is forgiven. But the old man hasn't died yet. That's a choice. You have to reject the old man, the old nature, that when somebody says something, you rise up and you want vengeance, you want payback. That's the old man. Attitude, that's the old man. The glaze, the stare, that's the old man. And he has to say, in this passage, that you got to reject the old man. Now you'll notice he says in verse 10, and have put on the new man. You have to be renewed in the new man. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. And the word renew is anakaino, which is to renovate. It's to go in and gut it, get rid of all the old stuff, and make it all new. And we do that to our houses all the time. If you lived in a house that is 30 years old, you've had to renovate something in it, because things just don't last. So if you've lived in a, how many of you remember harvest gold? How many remember that? How many remember avocado green? I remember that, okay? Now, it's a little bit, you remember when you just had to have an avocado green kitchen? Whoa. But that was in. If you didn't have an avocado green kitchen, then you were out. And so you look at it and say, wow, have things changed? And then that harvest gold. Then it was white. And now it's stainless steel. I don't know what's next. Gold? I don't know. Whichever one is. But man's going to come up with something so that you've got to look back and say, I got to remodel my kitchen. I got to remodel my bathrooms. And if you've got a bathroom, it's got a linoleum in it. Oh, my goodness. You got to have tile. And if you got a towel, oh my goodness, you got to have. And so it's always some upgrade, and we're going through. And if you've got carpet, How many of you remember shag carpet? You know, you get your feet stuck in the cat. I mean, remember that? Shag carpet, okay? Well, that was out. And then it was real, smooth carpet, and now shag's coming back a little bit. Renovate. As a Christian, lying, anger, attitude, hatred is always out. You always have to renovate. But it's always in on the devil's side. Disobedience to parents is always in on the devil's side. It's always natural. It's a natural thing. If you have children, you bring them up, you let them have their way, they're always going to disobey their parents. It's just by nature. And it takes training to teach them to do what's right. Now, when you get to be about 11, 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, you make a choice. And that choice is, do I want to renovate my life? Do I want to renew my life? Do I want to be like Christ? Now notice if you would, you reject the old man, and you'll notice if you would in verse 10, he says, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him. The word renewed, renovate, after the image is the word icon, you know? Nike, it's a word. The swoosh, that's the icon. After, except not the icon of Nike, but after the swoosh. No, after the Savior. So everybody in this room, we're to renew our lives and to be and remodel our lives and renew our lives like Christ. And there is a pattern he's given to us. Can anybody tell me what Titus 2 says about the Cretans? It's a horrible thing. The Cretans are always liars and slow bellies. You know what that is? Have you heard of couch potato? Slow belly. They lay on the couch and just eat. Lazy. He said the Cretans, they got this testimony. And so Titus, go help them get over that. Teach them to be renewed in Christ. Now, you can be a Christian and be a slow belly, lazy. You can be a Christian and be a liar. You can be a Christian and you fill in the blank. But you cannot be after his image and have any of those things in your life. People pick up on it that quick. Children pick up on their parents that quick. And so we have two choices. We can say, I don't want that anymore, son. I was wrong when I said that. I shouldn't have said it that way. Will you forgive me, honey? I was wrong when I said that. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have thought that, Lord. Forgive me. I want to have a renewed spirit. I want to be like you. That is renewed in the new man. And it's a choice, and you got to fight to get there. Daily pick up your cross so I can be like Christ. Notice if you would, he says here, after the image of him that created him. Now notice if you would, in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're from Texas or Detroit or you're from Pennsylvania or if you're from Brazil or Bolivia or if you're from Russia or you're from China. We're all God's children. And he says here, if you've trusted Christ, he said, Christ is all and that's it. Everybody from every place on this earth is supposed to have the same exact characteristics. Oh, we might be taller, shorter, chunkier, thinner, but the same character. The same characteristics. And it's the same all over the world because there's one image, there's one pattern, and it's Jesus Christ. He is our image. And everybody in this room, you ought to lay out your heart and say, what things in my life need to go and what things in my life need to be added? Notice if you would, in verse number 10, and have put on the new man. Now, you go to your closet, and if you're going to assemble yourself in a fashion where you can be in fashion, you may as a lady go in, and you go in, and you put on a nice blouse, and you put on a nice skirt, and you put on a nice, maybe a necklace, or you put on a bracelet, or you put whatever. You're causing yourself to look like something that you want to give an appearance for. But the Lord said in 1 Peter chapter 3, the ornaments of a woman are not what I'm interested in. But I'm interested in the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit. I'm interested in the heart. Because that's what changes lives. I'm interested in you being like this. Now notice if you would, verse 12. And put on therefore as the elect of God. Now the therefore is to remind you and I that we've made a choice to be renewed in Christ. We've made a choice to be in the image of Christ. Therefore put some things on. Notice put on therefore. And by the way, it's in the imperative voice. So in imperative tense, it's like you put this on. How many of you have ever been going outside when it gets cold and your mom says, put on your coat? Have you ever had that? Put on your coat, put on your coat. You know what he's saying? You're fixing to go meet the world. You get up in the morning, put on truth. Put on integrity. Put on kindness. Put on grace. So wouldn't it be nice if we could just go to our bathroom, there's a bottle of grace right there, and there's a bottle of kindness, and there's a bottle... Wait a minute. Notice, if you would, in verse 12, he says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. So I got some mercy over here. I got a little mercy over here. What's the next one over there? He says, okay, and I want you to put on kindness, okay? So there's a little bottle of kindness right here, and then humbleness of mind. There's a little humbleness of mind right there. That'd be a big bottle, okay? So I got a big bottle of that. And so as you go through, you're getting ready to go out and meet the world. You're getting ready to meet your wife. Go down for breakfast, you're going to put on mercy, you're going to put on kindness, and you're going to put on humbleness of mind. Wouldn't that be nice? You just douse a little on. You walk out like Christ. That would be cool. But it doesn't work that way. You have to get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I wasn't very kind yesterday. I want to be sweeter. Will you help me? Today is sweet day. I want to be kind. And you work on all day, you work on kindness. Because you're not going to do a good job if you work on holiness, kindness, mercy, humbleness of mind, meekness. You're going to forget some of them. So what we do is you pick one and you say, Lord, help me to add this to my life today. And Lord, help me add humbleness of mind. You know what humbleness of mind is? Typa is not rising very far off the ground. It's the idea of you've been praying or you're not very far off the ground in your mind. You're not very important before God. And that's the way you think, phroneo. So it's the idea that you have this lowness of mind about yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have self-confidence. It means you know yourself. And you choose to be like Christ who put others first. And so you get up in the morning, Lord, I want to be humble today. I want to put others first. I want to think about how I can help others. That's a part of the reason why I think there are some things that are very good. Have you ever heard of opening a door for a lady? Anybody ever heard of opening the door for a lady? Okay, that's a good thing. Because it teaches us a little bit of humility. Go over and open the door for somebody else so they can go first. Had a youth activity years ago. Had a real difficult youth group. Had a youth activity and not make it short. The youth activity, I was trying to scare the kids and have a good time with them. And I scared them all and they went running to the bus. And there were three girls trying to get on the bus because they were scared. They were trying to get on the bus for safety's sake. And so they tried to get on the bus. And there were three guys that grabbed them coming up the hill that saw them just get ready to get on the bus. They grabbed them by the bottom of their skirts and the back of their necks and pulled them off the bus so they could get on first. The Sunday before, they, in Sunday school, said they were, you know, yeah, I know you're going to try to scare us, Pastor Dave. I know you're going to try to scare us. That's no big deal. We'll come, but we're not going to get scared. They got so scared, they grabbed the girls and pulled them off the bus first. You know what the next Sunday when those guys walked around that door, they were like. The girls looked at them like, I was thinking about liking you, but not anymore. No, you put yourself first. You were willing to throw me to the dogs, and you were going to go in first and protect yourself. I'm not kidding you. Did you know one of those boys that broke his heart so much, that broke his spirit so much, that he got in the ministry? God broke his heart and said, I could use you, but only if you have a humble heart. But he was proud before that. I didn't plan that. I was just trying to have a good time. And the Lord used it because, you see, the old flesh gets in it, and you get to I'm going to protect me, and you run out there, and you embarrass yourself. Well, that's this word, humbleness of mind. You just humble yourself. Nobody has to make you do it because you're trying to be in his image. Do you remember when Christ was going to the cross? He said, I could call 84,016 angels, legions of angels, 12 legions. But he didn't. He humbled himself on the cross because he loved you and me. That's our example. So whenever it's going to cost you and I something to be a Christian, to be a good testimony, so what? We get put down. It's okay. Notice, if you would, he says, humbleness of mind, meekness. It's a gentleness that has no agenda. Meek. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on earth, and yet he had people to talk about him, Moses and Miriam. And when God struck her with leprosy, does anybody know what Moses did? Do you remember what he did? He prayed for God to forgive her. Meekness. He could have said, well, you know what? I'll pray tomorrow. Let you suffer tonight. I'll pray on the 31st of next month. That's not meekness. Meekness has no agenda. I want what's best for you. Have you put that on? It's not in our nature. You're going to go back there and find, oh, there's that bottle of meekness. And if you don't put it on, it won't get on. If you don't pray and say, dear Holy Spirit, you've got to fill my heart with meekness. That means I don't have an agenda towards somebody else. I'm not trying to outdo them, outshow them, or outthink them, or show them up, Lord. I just want to be like you. Meekness. It's rare. But that's the reason our light doesn't shine much in this world. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, he says, long suffering. It takes an awful lot to get us riled. Like Christ. Let me ask you a question. If you were Jesus Christ, you spent a couple years with disciples. You had fed them. You had taken care of them, paid their taxes. I mean, you'd been good to them. You'd walked in, let them see you raise the dead. And one day, you decide to test them, and they come up. And you say, hey, guys, what have you been talking about? And they went, who's going to be the greatest? At that point in time, after all that training and teaching, I would have thought Jesus would have said, what is wrong with you guys? What is your problem? When are you ever going to learn? Didn't you see me raise the dead? Didn't you see me raise Lazarus? Didn't you see me feed the 5,000, the 4,000? I mean, what is wrong with you? Hey, remember the storm? Stop. Shh. And it did. What is your problem? Am I trying to be first? I'm trying to help others. You know what he did? He walked over and got a child. Picked up the child in his arm. He says, if you're like this child, sweet little innocent child, God can use you. In this world, important people looked up to. Don't be important. John the Baptist was called the greatest of born of women. Do you know why? He looked at Jesus Christ when he had thousands following him, and he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Jesus doesn't get angry except at sin. Walked into the temple and he saw people making a profit off of the poor, trying to give a sacrifice. It was too hard to bring their animal for 50 miles, their lamb, and it wouldn't be pure and clean anymore because it'd be all dirty and maybe beat up a little bit. And so they'd go to the temple, and the temple would have some animals there that they could just purchase and offer for a sacrifice for maybe for their sins that they had done to honor the Lord. And they'd go out there and they'd look at all the lambs, and those priests would go out and buy a crummy, broken-legged, sick animals and say, here, that one's $100. And really, the going price was 20. It made Jesus angry. And he drove them out. But that's a rarity. He was angry at the Pharisees. He doesn't like people putting on a show. Never has and never will. That's the reason he likes truth in the heart. He likes you to be real. He said, long-suffering. You put up with a lot from people like him. And then notice this, verse 13, forbearing one another. That's what Jesus did to his disciples. He was forbearing to them. You guys don't understand. Do you remember whenever James and John came by and, they went through a little village and the village didn't take Jesus and they rejected him and says, you go on. We don't want you in our village. We heard about you. You healed all those, you healed that man Legion and all the swine went down the hill and they lost all their fortune and we don't want you in our village. And they went on by and James and John walked up and they said, you can't do that to my Jesus. Said, you want us to call fire down from heaven? And Jesus says, guys, I came here to seek and to save the lost, not destroy them. Oh. How many times I got to tell you that? Guys, I love you, but come on. How many times does he have to look at you and I and say, Dave Pittman, why don't you be nice? How many times I got to tell you that? Dave Pittman, how many times are you supposed to tell the truth? Dave Pittman, how many times are you supposed to do your best in your grades? Dave Pittman, how many times are you supposed to treat your wife right? Dave Pittman, Dave Pittman. He forbears a long time with us. And he says, look, if you're my child, I want you to be like me. Don't lose patience with people. Don't give up on people. It's natural, but it's not spiritual. Notice, if you would, forgiving one another. Forgiveness blots out, buries. Like a thick cloud that blotteth out the sun, so blotteth out he our sins. Isaiah 44:22. You know what he's trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that when he forgives us, it's gone. And then Peter comes up to him and says, hey, Jesus, if I forgive somebody 7 times. And he was trying to impress the Lord. The Lord looked at him and said, 7 times 70. I could just see Peter go, really? Well, I'm not anywhere near there. I'm counting at 5. I only got 2 more to go to forgive him. And you go, 7 times 70? That means, fellas, we forgive our wives forever. Wives, you forgive your husbands forever. Young people, forgive your parents, your brothers and sisters forever. How many of you have gotten upset with your brother or sister? Don't raise your hand. I'm not asking you to confess up. It's not right, but we all do it. It's spiritual to forgive. Now, we forgive 2 ways. One, without being asked. Because he does that for us. And 2, every time we're asked. You and I do not have the right to look at somebody when they say, I'm sorry. And say, well, I'll see if you mean it. How many have ever heard that? We'll see if you mean it. It's not scriptural. Now, how many of you have ever said, I'm sorry and didn't mean it? Don't. That's not scriptural either. But you see, what he's trying to say here is, and notice if you would, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Now, he knows us, and a quarrel is a debate with someone, an ongoing feud. It happens among teenagers. It happens among couples, husbands and wives. And that's the way you stop it is by saying, I forgive you. Bury it. You don't have to, but I'm going to. It's awfully hard to fight with yourself. That's the new man. Do you know what our church would be like if everybody just forgave, period? You heard something so-and-so said, I forgive it. And you want to know why? He's our example. In his image, forgiving people. A fit me to send away. That's what it means to forgive, to send away. I know you did that to me, honey, but I've sent it away already. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Do you know how much your husband would love you if you just sent everything he did away? Just kept sending it away, kept sending it away. Now, fellas, you take advantage of that and God gets you. He stops hearing your prayers. He starts getting out his big whipping stick on us. And it's not fun. You'll notice, if you wouldn't, this, and I want you to see this. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So how many things did Christ not forgive us for? Everything. He forgave you for the dirtiest, filthiest sins in all the world, buried in the deepest sea. So whatever the meanest, sorriest thing your mate's done to you, forgive it. It changed our lives. Whatever the meanest, dirtiest thing somebody done in this church to you, forgive it. At work, forgive it. Notice if you would, because Christ did it for you. And then last thing, I want you to see this. And above all these things, so now look here. Okay, so I've added a little kindness, I've added some meekness, I've added some humbleness of mind, and I've added a little forgiveness, and way over here. And wait a minute, it's not there. It's right in the center, in the back, and it's the biggest bottle. And above all these things, put on charity or love. Notice what he says, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what the bond is? It's literally the word for a chain. Or truthfully, it's the word for ligaments. You know how good you are if you tear a ligament? How many know what an ACL? How many heard of an ACL tear? ACL. How about if you tear up the ligaments in your knee, you know what your knee does? It goes all over like this. And it has no strength. You can't walk on it. That's what a Christian's like. That says, I forgive you without love. You see, forgiveness without love is really not forgiveness. See, humbleness, I'm going to be humble today. It's not humility. I'm going to be kind today if it kills me. But when you make your love for Christ the reason, it changes everything. And above all these things, you shall know my disciples by their kindness. You'll know my disciples by their tithing record. You'll know my disciples by their love one for another, by their love for me. So you got to get that big bottle of love out. And the Bible says, you'll notice if you would in this phrase, he says this, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond of completion. The word teleo is the word Jesus used to form that word on the cross when he said, it is finished. Well, that was our salvation, past, present, and future. It's done with. This word is you're perfect in Christ. You're mature and fully prepared to serve him. You're in his image when you're kind and gracious for love's sake. And I notice in this passage, it's to bond together. It's got soon desmos. So you take the love and you make everything else subservient to love. You make forgiveness second to love. I forgive because I love you. I am kind because I love. I am merciful because I love. I am meek because I love. And when you add that to it, it changes your life. And your light begins to shine. When I mention the word Nabal, Old Testament man, anybody remember anything, one word that describes him? Nabal. What's that? Surly. The old man personified. I made my own money. I worked hard. He was a laborer. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't a slow belly. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't any of those things. But he was self-indulgent. He got drunk and he didn't treat his wife with grace and mercy. And he made a fortune and provided great for her. But he didn't have the heart that God wanted. It is nothing like the Lord. And God killed him. And David could have learned a lesson. It's important that all of us in this room learn to add to our life, put on love. Let it bind everything together. I'm going to be humble and gracious. Now, you can't be humble without putting others first. So tonight when you go home and you're ready to lay down, you sit down on the couch and you're gonna watch something or read a book or whatever, and you're thirsty and your wife says, you know, I forgot something. Hey, let me get it. Others first. You hear somebody say something to you that wasn't very kind, don't respond back in the same way. Purpose in your heart, I want the new man in my life. I remember a man in the seventh grade. I went to church and there was a man that was a teacher. His name was Mr. Braswell. I still remember his name. Don't know where he is, but he was very good to me. And I'll never forget him caring for me and watching out for me, being thoughtful to me. And I picture that man to me was in the image of Christ. Many ways. Well, it wasn't perfect, but I wanted to be like that. And then that shifted to another man and then another man. And I was in college and there was a man there that I respected a lot. Let me ask you this. Who can look at you tonight and say, I want to be like him? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mimic me as I follow Christ. Tonight, are you in the image of Christ? It's a choice. You reject the old man, you renovate the new man, and you'll be able to rejoice in a new life, a new testimony. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I want so much to have godly people. Lord, I want so much for you to be our example. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts tonight. And Lord, if anybody here, Lord, you know us. Would you, dear Holy Spirit, come down and touch our hearts and help us come clean with you. Bless us, dear Lord Jesus, tonight, that we leave in your image. Hard to offend, easy to forgive, sweet-spirited, loving people because of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 366, have thine way, Lord, if you need to come tonight. First verse, this verse is for you. If you need to come, come right ahead. Brother Brandon, you lead us, please, sir.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
Come ahead, whatever you need to add or reject or renew. Leave tonight with a brand new spirit. Lord, I want to be like you.
Thy will,
I want to be in your image.
While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
One last verse, if you need to come, this will be it. Come right ahead.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way, hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Take just a minute tonight, and I want to encourage you to make this week a watershed week. This is the week I want to add to my life. Pick something in that passage and say, this is the week I'm going to add that to my life. This is the week I'm getting rid of that in my life. If we can do that, dear Holy Spirit, would you help me? Memorize the scripture that goes with it. Put on kindness. Lord, help me to put on kindness. You get up in the morning, Lord, help me to put on kindness. Lord, help me to be merciful. Not give people what they deserve, but give them, just forgive them. Lord, help me this week. And everybody that you meet, those verses come to your mind. It will change your life. I want to be like you, Lord. Next week you come back. You keep adding a little bit, your light begins to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. I want you to live for Christ. Every one of you in this room. I want you to shine, especially in your home, where the people see it the most. Let's pray and be dismissed tonight. Lord Jesus, forgive us of dim lights sometimes. Lord Jesus, you've done everything in the world for us. Forgiven us of our sin, given us the Holy Spirit to give us power, give us a home in heaven, promise to come back to get us, and all we have to do is serve you and do right. Lord, make us a people that are grateful and it's exhibited in our lives. Lord, help us to be a light this week for you, each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed tonight.